On February 7, 1994, SMWA President Michael Mangan was engaged in a lengthy telephone conversation with the seer of Bayside, Veronica of the Cross, in which Veronica told him that he was going to be the head of the Order of St. Michael. We are going to hear a recorded segment of this telephone conversation in which this point is made to Michael.
With the shrine, a lady named Zaster, it's going to go with cooperation, I guess she means. I'm talking to myself now. With cooperation and dependence on her, you know? Dependence is very important, she told me. Don't lose ever contact with me, she said, by getting independent. So then I was thinking, oh boy, and I did something wrong here that night. I didn't sleep, and she said, then I said, oh boy, am I acting on my own? Am I, is she angry at me? Because she just said that, and I felt that she said, I gave her my train and asked for that, but I didn't get any, so I had to figure that out on my own. In other words, I accept everything it comes day by day. Don't get upset, don't get too excited, but wait and see. You know, I'm telling you that too, Michael, but you want to know that.
Right.
Right, because when she said that, then it was easy. I don't worry about anything, but I feel this way now after 24 and a half years. I live talking to me that when the time is right, everything will go exactly like she's saying and what Jesus said. Exactly.
Right.
Right. And time, another thing about heaven, Michael, a lady once told me years ago, there is no time in heaven.
That's right.
She said there is no time in heaven. Boy, that must be really
something. That must
be really something.
I know.
You know another thing. Why am I thinking of Raymond now? Did I ever tell you my story of my son getting killed, how it happened?
Yes.
It came to me about 3 weeks before it happened.
Yes. Will you give me your son?
I'll repeat it. With Raymond, you know, death, which hit me very horribly, you know. He was an most unusual child. I'm not saying that because he was mine, but there was something about him. People used to say to me, even before the apparition, you know, your son is so different from the others. There seems to be something evil about him.
Right.
Think about his face, his eyes. He was a very good-looking boy. I'm not saying that because he was mine, but even people noticed that he was a very handsome boy. And of course, he died at 16.
Right.
You know, people wondered how I could take it so calmly. And I didn't tell everyone. I only picked those that I thought would spiritually understand me. But the reason I could take it so calmly then, and I've never shed a tear over it, was because 2 weeks before he was killed, I was going into my altar. I had my altar on the dresser, and I lived in Bayside in a small apartment. And how I fit all these people in that small apartment. Two bedrooms, I think, or one. Three bedrooms. My children and my grand and my father. But I'm going into my bedroom and I was praying the rosary. I made a little rosary. This is our 10 years saying that, Michael, because you're going to be the head of the Order of St. Michael. And I want you to know those things. That's the reason I'm keeping you on the phone in case anything happens to me. Do you know these things? I was at the altar, and I had lighted the candle. I had St. Teresa's statue on the altar, the one that Raymond here, the one that Duane came in to saw. Teresa, you know the
right.
Name. Right. And as I was kneeling down, I almost fell off my feet, give me comfortable. I heard this voice, and Michael, I can only tell you the truth, it started my witness. I knew it was Jesus or the Eternal Father. To this day, I can't make up my mind. I knew it was either Jesus or the Eternal Father. I'm standing there, and I'm starting to say the rosary. When I heard him, I knew it was a man's voice, sort of, I say that. And only until I sat down from the shock did I realize to let me know who it was. They let you know. I heard the voice say to me, Veronica, will you give me your son? I didn't hesitate. I figured it was the Eternal Father, Jesus, the boy that was so strong. And I said, oh, sure. I'm sorry, not thinking, you know, and not thinking or anything like that. Would you give me your son? And I knew, at that time, I didn't know which son it was, truthfully speaking, but I'm not going to deny Jesus eternal God anything. I wasn't going to say no to something that they asked. So I very lightly said, oh, yes, I will. So I left it at that and went without thinking. I guess I wasn't supposed to know until it happened. Without thinking, within a few short weeks, I don't know how many weeks this, like people, the reason I'm saying this, telling you about this is because people said, why did you let him go up to the woods there on that vacation with that boy, with those boys and his father? That you got that message? People knew that. The message was, would you give me your son? Well, I said, yes. I wasn't going to deny Jesus or the eternal father what he asked, you know?
Right.
But I wasn't thinking that they meant it. You don't know, Michael, the course it was when Stuart Lee asked that that happened in my apartment. Raymond asked if he could go with the other boys on this tour with the boys' father upstate. Well, somebody told me I didn't want him to go, but he coaxed me so much, and I figured, well, the boy's getting enough persecution, saying your mother's an oddball, and all this and that. He came in one time very upset. The boys had told him that your mother's crazy, you know? And he was very upset, and I told him, no, I said, Ray, don't mind what they say about your mother. One day you'll understand it all, I said, and you'll be happy. So he went and up there, upstate, and what happened is I didn't know the father gave them rifles to go hunting in the woods there or something. Anyway, he gave them rifles. Now, when I let him go, I didn't think anybody was going to give anybody rifles. But the story is, I heard from the boy that did it. He was 14. Ray was about 13 or 14. No, he's older than that. Ray was about 15 or 16 at the time, and the other boy was about 15. Well, the father gave them all guns to go out in the woods. I found out later he was stone drunk, and gave them the guns. And Ray had one too. I had pictures of them up there, and they took pictures. But what happened, one of the boys didn't realize what he was doing. Satan was doing it, though. And he threw a block of wood that was in the woods there and yelled, hey, Ray, get that for me. And he threw this block of wood. And as Ray ran over to pick it up, he tried to shoot the block of wood out of his way like they do in the movies.
Oh, my goodness.
Instead, it shot him straight through the heart.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. I got the whole thing out of inquest I had to go to. So
they didn't charge the father of the boy with
No, they didn't, because I didn't press charges either. You know, I didn't press charges because I felt it was God's will after what said to me. The truth of it, I've never told a living soul of this, not even Arthur, why I didn't. Some of these people said press charges against him, sue him, do everything else like that. But I said, no, it's not going to help anything. And I don't believe suing people like that. So, but the thing in the back of my mind was what I heard about 2 weeks before, or short of that, maybe a week and a half. It was only a short time that he went up there. And, of course, I never thought, when he asked to go up with them to the woods there, I never thought of anything like that happening. Sometimes you're not supposed to, I guess, but you're supposed to know ahead of time.
Right.
But no, we didn't sue him. The man has to live with that the rest of his life, that he gave guns to boys and wanted to get killed. He has to live with that the rest of his life. He came to the funeral, the father. I looked over. He saw me looking at him. He turned away and said, he brought the boys with him to the funeral. And he has to live with that life. So, no, I didn't sue him. And then the reason I know it sounds peculiar, I understood it, Nando, but I know what I heard when you give me your son. They meant it. The only thing is now when I hear something, I know they mean it, you know?
Right.
I couldn't conceive. Well, I had the human reaction. I couldn't conceive that they meant such a thing, especially when I was doing Our Lady's work. You follow me?
Right.
So that I was in complete shock when it happened. I had to go through a human torture. How can they do this to me? I didn't know they meant it. Maybe I should have said no, you know? But I couldn't. How to explain? I couldn't, you know? Sometimes even as a human being, that still bothers me. Maybe if I had said, oh no, or something like that. You know, Michael?
Right.
But no, somehow I couldn't, you know, because I knew who was speaking to me. It was either Jesus or the Eternal Father. The voice was sort of similar voices. Yeah. And so I wasn't going to say no. Of course, I couldn't believe anything like that was going to happen, you know? Maybe I would have said, oh no, if I knew what was going to happen. But the thing is this, it's like a test, Michael. Like a priest, Father Horvath said to me, no, you were being tested.
Right.
What do you mean? He said the average person would have said, oh no, you know, would you give me your son? Oh no, you know. They thought they were pagans already and wouldn't have the grace to know where their son is. Follow me, Michael?
Right.
You may think it's strange to follow me in this.
No, I understand.
Now, actually, after all the years, I know I was graced because I know where he is, if you're following me.
Right.
Right. He asked you. See, in a way like that, I get goosebumps. I know that God the Father, who I speak to quite a bit at night, it is his time to go. See, Ali told me a long time ago, there's a time and place for everything, she told me.
Right.
And she said, there's a time to live and there's a time to die. In other words, she was telling us that it's already written in the books or something.
Right.
There's a time to live and a time to die. It just happened that was Ray's time. Now, who knows, like I said, like it's any mother, I'm telling you this in case you ever in the word here or something similar, you can tell them what I said. I felt now, after all these years, at peace, because I know where he's at. And there are so many mothers that write us. Could you tell me where so-and-so is now? They hadn't been to church all these years. They hadn't did this and that. You know, that's hard on a family, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any spirituality, oh my God, I wonder where they are. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Things like that. So that actually, I know through the years that I was graced. It was this time to go. And they made it factually easier. You may think this is crazy when I'm telling you, Michael, but I'm trying to actually explain that actually God works in a serious way.
That's for sure.
You know, so that when it happened, I remembered that, and that got me through everything, Michael.
Right.
It really did. So, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. But that's why, so many things that are happening, I keep you on the phone because I don't want to forget anything that Ali tells me to tell you, you know?
Right.
I just want you to know about this for a reason, you know?
Right.
This is a special edition of St. Michael's Radio, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of a telephone conversation that took place between Michael Mangan and the seer Veronica Lucan on February 7th, 1994. Michael today is the head of St. Michael's World Apostolate, which is presently building toward the full-fledged order of St. Michael that the Blessed Mother stated would be established in the United States.